Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
Fluoride is returning to Buffalo's water supply, though not all are happy about the development. Officials with the Buffalo Water Board say the new fluoridation system has been approved by the Erie County Department of Health, and it will resume operations starting on Tuesday. Health Department representatives made that determination Friday following an inspection of the system at the Colonel Ward pumping station. Meanwhile, the group LibertyMovement.org is protesting the move and plans to hold a rally at 2 this afternoon in Niagara Square. A group is protesting plans for logging operations in Zora Valley. According to the Zora Valley Coalition, the Department of Environmental Conservation has, quote, marked trees and scheduled timber sales of hundreds of acres of public land. The group says the logging runs counter to a preservation plan the DEC issued for Zora Valley in 2006. A rally was held Saturday in Zora Valley. The group is urging concerned citizens to join them at a Tuesday night public information meeting at Damon University. And student retention efforts at a local college are expected to be boosted by a new federal grant. According to Congressman Nick Langworthy, Hilbert College is receiving a five-year grant totaling $2.2 million. The funds from the U.S. Department of Education's Strengthening Institutions Program will establish and staff an academic services center at Hilbert. In a release, college president Dr. Michael Brophy says Hilbert, quote, has traditionally enrolled a large number of underserved and first-generation students, and this grant will help us reinforce and expand our efforts to maximize the retention. One volunteer firefighter is recovering from injuries sustained in an early Sunday morning fire in Wheatfield. According to the Niagara County Sheriff's Department, the 41-year-old man from the Frontier Volunteer Fire Company suffered a presumed medical emergency and fell down a flight of stairs as residents were being evacuated away from the structure fire on River Road. The man was taken to ECMC for what have been described as non-life-threatening injuries. The cause of the fire remains under investigation. No damage estimate has been provided. Local officials are taking steps to alleviate congestion as afternoon commuters today merge with fans heading to tonight's Buffalo Bills game at Highmark Stadium. In anticipation of the increased traffic, both Orchard Park and Frontier Central School Districts will have early dismissal of classes today. Abbott Road in front of the stadium will be closed to vehicular traffic starting at 2:30. Though tailgaters are already in place at private lots, stadium parking lots do not open until 3:30. Stadium gates open at 5:30. Kickoff for the Bills and Jaguars in Orchard Park is at 7:30 tonight. And drivers will be seeing lower prices at the gas pump. While Hurricane Francine impacted gasoline distribution chains briefly, the AAA of Western and Central New York is reporting another drop in local prices this morning, with the average price for a gallon of unleaded gasoline in Buffalo standing at $3.42, a drop of 3 cents since last week. The New York State average, $3.32, that's down 4 cents from last week and 61 cents lower than 1 year ago.
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying griffs find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
Well, Canada is again cutting the number of international students permitted to enter the country. The reduction applies to next year and follows earlier announcements of a temporary cap. As Dan Karpinchuk reports from Toronto, the measures are aimed at decreasing the number of temporary residents in Canada over the next 3 years.
In January, Immigration and Citizenship Minister Mark Miller announced a two-year cap on the number of new visas for undergraduate and college students.
To ensure that there is no further growth in the number of international students in Canada for 2024, we are setting a national application intake cap for a period of 2 years. For 2024, the cap is expected to result in approximately 364,000 approved study permits, a decrease of 35% from 2023.
That was in January. This month, Miller went even further, saying even though the previous measures are working, they are not enough. First, he says the international student cap is here to stay, and there will be another 10% reduction for 2025 and 2026.
We expect these changes to yield approximately 300,000 fewer study permits.
Even Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has weighed in on the issue.
We've seen over the past few years a massive rise in the number of international students that is outpacing our communities and our country's ability to ensure the kind of quality experience and the quality education for all those students.
When the first announcements came at the beginning of the year, there was anxiety among international students, as well as concern among universities. Many of them depend on the money those students bring in. On average, foreign students pay tens of thousands of dollars more in tuition fees than domestic students. Now universities are calling for a pause on any future decreases. Julia Scott is with Universities Canada.
What we are seeing now is Canada's reputation as a premier destination for education taking a hit.
The Trudeau government has been under pressure in recent months over the high immigration levels. In Ontario, for example, key sectors of the labour market are filled by college graduates, including international students. The new restrictions are in part a response to the huge spike in international students and concerns that some schools are accepting them mainly to boost revenues. There is also the fact that Canada's housing market is already under strain. And a recent survey showed that a majority of Canadians want fewer new immigrants accepted in 2025. And that also makes it a hot political topic, especially with the country facing an election next year. For WBFO News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
Clarence dominates on Friday Night Lights. The Sabres show grit and skill in their preseason opener, and we preview the Bills' Monday night matchup with Jacksonville. I'm Jack Cruiser. This is The Scoreboard for Monday, September 23rd. Remember that Bills playoff game against New England in 2021? The one where Josh Allen and the Bills offense scored a touchdown on every single drive. Well, on Friday, the Clarence Red Devils and their quarterback Bryce Toubon replicated that performance, defeating Frontier 49-14 on Friday Night Lights. In my opinion, Toubon is the best quarterback in Western New York, and he proved that Friday. The Clarence High School senior threw for over 400 yards and 6 touchdowns while having just 2 incomplete passes all game. After the game was over, Toubon credited his offensive line and wide receivers for giving him time in the pocket and for making plays all night. On the receiving end, senior gadget guy Jefferson Long caught the first 2 touchdowns of the game, and senior running back David Van Horn corralled 3 more scores throughout the night as Clarence won their home opener in style. Across Western New York, there was one high school football performance that stands out above the rest from Week 3. South Park senior Adam Nunez set a New York State rushing record with 593 yards and 7 touchdowns in the Sparks' 58-28 win over Iroquois at Ojai Stadium. It was a blast from the past on Saturday night seeing Lindy Ruff behind the bench for the Sabres for the first time in over a decade. With a lineup of almost all expected NHL starters, Buffalo took on a prospect-laden Pittsburgh Penguins lineup, and it showed as the Sabres won their preseason opener 7-3. Despite giving up the first goal less than 2 minutes in, Buffalo took over in the second period, scoring 4 goals on their first 5 shots of the middle frame, taking a score from a 1-1 tie to a 5-1 lead in less than 6 minutes. J.J. Paterka ended the game with a hat trick for the Sabres, highlighting the offensive explosion. Buffalo's newly acquired fourth line of Beck Malenstein, Sam Lafferty, and Nicholas Aubé-Kubel showed exactly why they signed in the Queen City, adding speed, physicality, and forechecking ability. After a third period that saw 7 roughing penalties, the Sabres finished the game with a 17-13 lead in the hits category. After the game, Coach Ruff commented that he liked the pace that Buffalo played with, but it still has a ways to go. The Columbus Blue Jackets roll into town tonight for another preseason game before the Sabres pack up and head to Europe for an exhibition game in Germany before opening the season in Czechia next month. Here's your Big Four briefing of what you might have missed over the weekend in local Division I athletics. The Buffalo Bulls football team went on the road and defeated number 23-ranked Northern Illinois. It marks the program's second win over a ranked opponent all time. The UB women's soccer team opened conference play with wins over Akron and Eastern Michigan, remaining undefeated, bringing Buffalo's overall record to 7-0-2. In downtown Buffalo, the Canisius women's soccer team has been on a roll, defeating St. Peter's in league play, claiming their fifth straight victory. Up on Montego Ridge, the Niagara volleyball team is prepped for conference play, sweeping back-to-back non-conference matches versus Mercyhurst and at Lemoyne. And finally, down in Olean, St. Bonaventure freshman golfer Dante Bertoni has been named the A-10 Rookie of the Week. Bertoni shot a tournament-best 68 in the final round of the Little 3 Championship, helping the Bonnies secure their eighth straight victory over their Western New York foes. Bills fans had to wait a mighty long time to see their team back in action. After Buffalo beat Miami on Thursday night in Week 2, the Bills got a pseudo-bye week, garnering 10 days between games. Tonight, the red, white, and blue are back in primetime, hosting Jacksonville on Monday Night Football. Tonight's opponent has been one of the few to, for lack of a better term, have Josh Allen's number. The Jags are one of five teams that the Bills have a losing record to since Allen became the starter. When these two met last season, it was in London, where Jacksonville pounced on Buffalo early and held on for a 25-20 win. With Baylen Specter expected to start at linebacker in place of the injured Terrell Bernard, Buffalo Joe Andreessen may draw into the lineup to make his NFL debut tonight. This has been The Scoreboard for Monday, September 23rd. I'm Jack Cruiser for WBFO Sports.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.